You know, and actually seeing it, you know, seeing what it is that you're going to do in this coming year and what we as a church are going to do in this coming year. And so it's been, you know, it was real confirmation during worship because there were so many words that came forth, you know, about speaking, you know, the truth, what's in your heart, letting your words line up with it and you know, coming up to the higher places and seeing, you know, what God's going to do. And I'm here to tell you, you know, this, I know it may sound a little bit cliche, but 2007 is going to be an amazing year. You know, I mean, I know everybody feels that way. Everybody's optimistic at the start of every year. Oh, this is going to be a great year. And they are great years. And God has done some amazing things with us. But there's going to be something different about this year. I'm telling you that prophetically. That's not just, you know, a faith confession. I mean, it is a faith confession, but that's not just what it is. Because sometimes, you know, we call things that are not as though they were because it don't look too good, but we're letting our words. I'm telling you right now, you guys can mark this down. It's recorded. I'm saying it prophetically. You know, this is going to be a turning point year for all of us. And so, I don't know. We're going to see what God wants to do here tonight. Turn over to Proverbs 29. And as I've been praying, as I said earlier, I was just like, you know, God, what is it? I mean, where are we? You know, give me a sense of where we're at with all this. And he began to impress upon me the analogy of you know, I don't know a tremendous a lot about this, but you know, when they drill for oil, you know, sometimes they'll go down and they'll tap into just like a small pocket of it, but they haven't hit the actual the oil reserve that's underneath the ground, the actual well. And the Lord was impressing upon me because, you know, it's been good, it has, but he began impressing upon me we've just barely begun to tap, and in 2007 we're tapping into the deep wells. We are going to tap into the deep wells. And I have to admit, you know, I don't even think I know exactly everything that means. You know, I don't know all the details, but that's okay because we're going to find out together. And, you know, God has really been impressed upon me that it's higher levels, deeper wells, you know, new dimensions. I mean, God has taken his church in a totally different direction. And it is. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a faith walk, a faith challenge, but it's going to be a blast. And I encourage everyone, you know, hang on, because we're going to be in for a great time. And I'm saying this because I really do want to encourage you, because I don't care what you've been going through. I don't care where you're at. I don't care how many sides the devil's attacking you. It's changing. Things are getting better. It's changing. In Proverbs 29:18, as God was speaking to me, he began to impress upon me how there's so many of us, and I used to be this way, that we are people of no vision, people of faith. And being people of faith is a wonderful thing, but just because you're a person of faith does not mean you're a person of vision. And so he's been really impressing upon me, vision. If you don't have a clue where you're going, this is true even in the business world. I mean, you see it everywhere when you go to businesses. They have their mission statement, you know, plastered on the wall, and they have their vision. You know, this is not a corporate thing. They stole this from God, okay? There's nothing new under the sun, guys. No, some corporate manager did not come up with some brainstorm and come up with this idea. This is straight out of the Bible. You got to have vision. You got to have purpose. Proverbs 29:18, a real short little verse here. Simple, but it states it so well. Where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint. Now, vision can be defined, in such a way, a prophetic vision, a dream, oracle, or revelation that comes through sight, namely a vision from God. Now, that's from Webster's Dictionary. If you go back to the Hebrew, if you go back and just really start digging into the meaning of these words, in that instance here in this verse, in the original Hebrew, it means to mentally perceive and to contemplate. You know, so often we think that a vision is like, you know, what happened to Paul on his way, you know, and Jesus knocked him off his horse and, you know, blinding light, and he had a vision. Yes, that is a vision. In this particular setting, in this verse, it means to perceive mentally and to contemplate, to see what God is doing. And, you know, we've got to see what God is doing. It's okay to have your own idea, and God will speak your own personal vision of what you want to do. And believe me, we're going to be really pressing that this year too as well, is because we want you to see your vision. We want you to see your purpose and what God is doing. But, you know, it works together. It's a collective thing because your vision ties in with her vision, you know, and they work in together, and it all works in for the church. But when I was asking God, you know, just really kind of meditating over this, beginning to ask God, you know, what is this vision? I mean, we can sit here and we can meditate on you, we can meditate on your word, but what is it to have a vision? What is that? And he began to tell me, he said, visions are portals. They're like doorways. They're doorways into eternity. And every once in a while, we catch a glimpse of it. And that's where we get our vision. And with that, we start getting our drive and what it is that God wants us to do. And I encourage you, you know, whatever vision that he's given you, he has made you doorkeeper of that door. And to guard it. Guard your vision. He has a purpose for you. And if you don't have a vision yet, it's all right. We'll take care of that. We can get you fixed up. Because, I mean, as I said before, as we were making announcements tonight, you know, one of the new classes we're starting, it's all about that. We're all about that. So, you know, people of vision, that's part of the word for this coming year, vision. Vision. I want you to know what it is that God's called you to do. And it's not a hard thing because it's the thing that comes natural to you. People of vision. Let me read that Proverbs 29:18, one of my favorite translations, the Message Bible. It says, if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. When we see what God's doing, like I said, you know, these visions are like portals into his eternity. When we see what God's doing, we'll be sure-footed. You know, we will not wonder. We'll not take a misstep. Our footing will be grounded. It'll be like on the rock. When you know what your vision is, you'll take the steps without having any doubt whatsoever. We will be blessed, just as it said there. They attend to what he reveals. They are most blessed. Flip over to 1 Samuel 3. 1 Samuel 3, starting in verse 1. Now, the background on this is when Samuel was a small boy, or young boy. His mom had already given him to the priest Eli to serve in the temple. And the title in my Bible on starting in verse 1 is Speak, God, I'm Ready to Listen. And that's what I want to challenge you with, to have that as part of your prayer. I want that to be your prayer. Speak, God, I'm ready to listen. Because God's always speaking, but we're not always listening. And this is where you're going to start seeing glimpses of your vision. It says in verse 1, the boy Samuel was serving God under Eli's direction. This was at a time when the revelation of God, or another way to say it, the vision that God gives, because vision is revelation. It says that the revelation of God was rarely heard or seen during this time. I think that's a great picture of many in the body of Christ right now. They have no vision, no revelation. And therefore, nobody heard God speaking. They did not hear what he had to say. Revelation is vision. The hope of Israel, or the people of Israel, I guess I should say, were not a people of vision at this time whatsoever, because they said it was a rare thing. Not even the priest Eli, which I find to be a very sad thing, because here was a spiritual leader of the nation of Israel, and he did not hear the voice of the Lord. He had no vision. Skip down a little bit further. It says, it was well before dawn, and the sanctuary lamps was still burning. Samuel was still in bed in the temple of God, where the chest of God, or the ark of God, rested. Now, I love the play on words here, because it says he was there in the temple of God where the chest of God rested. We're talking about the ark. This was in the room where, in this room behind the Holy of Holies, was the most holy place on planet Earth. I mean, it was so sacred, grown men feared to go into this place. You know, when they would go in for the yearly sacrifice, they'd tie a little rope around their leg and the little bells around their garments, so if they stopped ringing, they know they fell over dead and they could just pull them out. Samuel lived there. And it says he was there where the chest of God rested. And I think of that anatomically. He was near the chest of God. And it denotes somebody that's crawled up into their father's lap. And they've laid their head on their chest. See, he was willing to go where most people were afraid to even dare venture. He slept there. That was his bedroom. It's also a picture of where he was spiritually. Being near the ark, being near the chest. See, I can always tell. It's funny because as pastors and counselors and Brendan, some of the others do quite a bit of counseling. You know, I can always tell where someone's at, or maybe better stated, where their devotional life is in their relationship with God is by what's coming out of their mouth. I can tell when they've spent time with God. You know, here was Samuel, a young boy who he breathed in God constantly, and therefore God was starting to speak things to him. And when I talk about what coming out of people's mouth, it's not necessarily just bad language, but unscriptural stuff. You know, some people have developed ungodly scripture doctrine that they live by. And the reason I know that they're coming up with it from somewhere else is because you can ask them, where are you getting that out of scripture? Well, that's just what my experience tells me. Your experience is lying to you. Because if it don't line up with the Word of God, guess who's wrong? I ain't prepared to call God a liar. Are you? I'll tell you another thing. Your soul will lie to you. I'm not even sure why I'm saying this, but your soul will lie to you. And I mean, I can tell you right now, I've been there. Man, I've been in areas in my life where I knew God was alive and breathing, but I wasn't even sure if I knew Him. You know, I mean, I knew I was saved. But it's when I start seeing God operate in ways that I just didn't preconceive or know that He did. I tell you, it does. It makes you stop and think sometimes. I mean, I didn't know which way was up in some areas of my life. But I knew He was God. I knew He was truth. But your soul will not always be truthful to you. So you can't go by your soul. You need to go by what the Scripture says. If you're like young Samuel, not only be involved in his temple, which that denotes temple, place where we meet. It can have various meanings, but his temple, the church services. But you'll dwell there spiritually in his presence. Like I said before, Samuel made his bed there. So we see a picture of devotion and communication unto the Lord. Samuel had positioned himself to be a person of vision. Vision doesn't just happen. You have to position yourself to be a person of vision. I ask you, have you done that? Have you put yourself in that position? If you haven't, then do put yourself there. Because there's going to be plenty of opportunity to do that. That's going to be our main thrust. I can tell you that right now. Put yourself there. If you don't do that, you'll not be able to see the vision that God's placed on this house. And I mean destiny spirit. I mean, as I said before, we all have our individual destinies. But if you don't do that, you'll never grasp what's coming. Like I said, I haven't seen it all. I've seen parts of it. And I can tell you there are some big things coming. And you know, it's funny because Brenda and I and Jen, who's been around each other in ministry for several years, we've been telling each other that for so long. And there was times where I just didn't want to hear it anymore. But I'm telling you, it's coming to fruition. It's so big that we couldn't even grasp it. And we knew that, but we didn't even know what the big was. Mm-hmm. But the big's coming, and we're starting to see glimpse of it. And I'm telling you, it's going to be a wonderful thing. It's ginormous. Verse 4, then God called out, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel then answered, yes, I'm here. And then he ran to Eli saying, I heard you call, here am I. Eli said, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. And so he did. If you read on the next few verses, it happened three times. This whole scenario, he heard someone calling his name, ran to, he thought it was his master Eli, was not. Jumping down to verse 8. That's when it dawned on Eli that God was calling the boy. So Eli directed Samuel, go back and lie down. If the voice calls again, say, speak, God, I am your servant, ready to listen. And Samuel returned to his bed. Then God came. I find this interesting because it didn't say this the first three times, but it said, then God came and stood before him exactly as before, calling out, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered, speak, I'm your servant, ready to listen. And I'm telling you right now that God is standing before us. He is standing before this congregation. And he's calling our names. He's calling the names of those that have positioned themselves to hear him and see the vision that he has given. If you do that, he will show you things that will blow your mind. He will show you things that may sometimes even scare you a little bit. But you know what? He does it to pique your curiosity, to pique your, you know, what is that? You know, what are we going to be doing? If you don't see that for yourself, you will have a hard time grasping that because as the pastors of this church, we're going on to higher land. We're going on to higher pastures, you know, for the feeding. And it's the sheep that follow. It's the sheep that follow. I hope you're one of them. That's what I want to encourage you tonight. I hope you are one of those people that if you're not there, if you feel like I'm not a person of vision. I understand, been there. I have been there. I understand that can be frustrating. Get there. We're going to get you there if you want to go there. If that's something you want, you will have it. If you have the vision, you'll hear him calling. You know, I'm just asking, you know, do a little bit of self-appraisal of where you're at. You know, just kind of take a little bit of inventory. You know, be real honest, because it's not a bad thing to realize that, oh, I'm not there. See, what you got to come to the realization is when this really starts becoming real to you, is you start to realize that you were put here on this planet for so much more than just working your 9-to-5 job, accumulating stuff and bills and payments and houses, cars. You make the payments on these things year after year after year, and then you have children who grow up, who get a 9-to-5 job, who accumulate all this stuff and these houses and these cars, and they make payments on them year after year. There's more to life than that. And as silly as that may sound, that was a real revelation to me several years back, because that's how I was living my life. No purpose, no vision whatsoever. Work, home, sleep, that's all it was for me. And for you, a lot of you, that's what it is. But that's okay, because we're here to challenge you a little bit. And challenge is a good thing. And if you'll put yourself in that position to be challenged, that's where you will grow. You know, I'm looking at my notes, and like I said, God's been really pulling me in different directions here. Actually, he hasn't. I've been fighting him a little bit. He doesn't pull in different directions. Forgive me, God. I don't want to misrepresent you. I really just feel impressed to share some of my own testimonies, some of the things that I've gone through in my life. By no means to exalt myself at all. It's my desire to encourage people. Because, you know, I've been in places myself that it looked pretty hopeless and it looked pretty bad. And I know, you know, with even this group of people here, we're all in different places, all in different, going through different things. And right now, you know, you're getting the benefit of seeing Brenda and I walking in some things that God spoke to us 10, 15 years ago, and they're just now coming to pass. And that's what I want to encourage you, just because, you know, we had that earlier come out tonight. I can't remember who said it, but to dig out your prophetic words. Was that something you were... Yeah, I think that's something Jen was bringing out. See, she's so prophetic, she don't even know what she was saying. But, you know, don't forget the prophetic words that you've gotten, you know, in the past. We have prophetic words, literally, that we received years and years ago. Some we still haven't seen come to pass yet. And others we are starting to see come to pass just now. You know, it's because God's faithful. His word does not return to him void. And we are the ones that put timetables on things. You know, indeed, we are the ones that sometimes delay things that he wants to do. Do you know that you can delay the prophetic word that he's spoken over you? You know, if he's told you you're going to travel the world and minister in various countries and you haven't got your shots or your passport yet, guess what? You're not going. You know, it's covenant. Like I said before, God's like, I will if you will. I will if you will. But, you know, I don't even know what God wants me to share here, so I'm just going to start babbling. Hopefully something good's going to come out. If not, we'll just go home. Probably good. You know, several years ago, I would say now we're probably looking at about maybe 13 years ago, God called us into the ministry. And I'm just going to share this. I feel like God wants me to. I've known some of you for a long time. I've known some of the others here for a short time. Some I don't know very well at all, but I really haven't shared much of my testimony, but I just feel led to do it, so I'm going to do it. Many years ago, we first ran into Donna and her prophetic ministry through family. And Brenda and I were just in a real dry place spiritually. And I have to admit, I was this close to just chucking the whole thing. I was done with church. I was I was tired of playing the game, because that's all I was doing. I was just going through the motions, playing the game. And I knew enough to know that that wasn't it, but that's all I had before me. And we were driving across country to meet up with Donna and go through a ministering spiritual gifts seminar. We didn't know her very well. We had met her through family, but we'd seen her ministry, and we were blown away by it. And I remember as we were driving to this seminar, we were talking. It was just the two of us. The kids were with us, but they were all very, very young. And we began to just talk about things, you know, about how, you know, we're done playing the religious church thing. And if that's all church is, then we're done. We're done with church. You know, we weren't writing God off. We were just done with the whole process of you know, Pharisaical Christianity, because that's all we had seen. And that's, you know, that's just where we were at, to be real honest. And when we got to the meeting, Donna had prophesied. I think it was Donna that had prophesied the word to us. And she pretty much prophesied the same words that we had been talking, just the two of us, that no one else ever knew about. And of course, that gets your attention real quick. And we're just like, wow, this prophetic stuff is real. You know, this, there is more to church, you know. And we really started getting excited about that. So we'd gone through the MSG. And like I said, we lived, you know, cross country from her. So we'd made a couple trips to be part of that. And we went back home, and we just really began feeling a draw to hook up with the ministry. But from the time that God told us that you're going to be part of this ministry to the time that we actually did become a part of that ministry was about 2 years. And, you know, it was real easy to get a little bit discouraged, because I started saying, well, you know what, God, if this is really what you want, then you're going to get me the job, you know, that I need to get me cross country. You're going to supply the place to live. You're just going to provide all, you know, it's going to be easy street. You know, it's just going to be a bowl of cherries. And I was getting some spiritual advice that wasn't quite accurate. I mean, they meant well, but the whole thing was, hey, if it's God, it'll all just work out and fall right into place. That's a lie.
Yes,
that is a lie. And if anybody ever told you that, I'm sorry. I'm serious, because I bought into that too. Your following God does not grant you an address on the easy street. In fact, it may make things just a little bit harder for you, because after all, you do have an enemy that hates you. And when you're trying to do something for God, he will do everything he can to squelch that. So it took a couple years, because I had to get to the place where I realized that he's not going to lay it all out in a nice little mapped plan for me. It took some steps of faith. And when we did finally go ahead and make that move cross country, I thought, well, as I, you know, start driving there, things are just going to start happening. And I remember as we drove there, we had all kinds of problems just driving on the road. I mean, it took what would normally take like a day to get there. It took us like 2 days to get there, just because we had, you know, just one thing after another just stopping us. You know, problems with the moving truck, this, that, and the other. I mean, and I'm just like, God, this ain't getting any easier. Are you sure you called me to do this? I mean, I'm already, you know, I'm 12 hours into this new life, and I'm doubting. You know, I'm starting to wonder what I've missed it. You know, something's going on here. And when we got there, we didn't have a house waiting for us. I was sure something was going to open up. We ended up living in family's basement for 9 months. Didn't look like God was in this at all. We were depressed, for one thing, because we were the cellar dwellers. You know, we had a whole house crammed into two rooms about the size of this platform here. Kids were all three sleeping in one bed. And, I mean, it wasn't looking real good. Job front wasn't any better. I thought, yeah, you know, I've got experience. You know, I've done this, that, and, you know, job will be there. I figured they'd be knocking down my door to hire me. I wasn't getting a call. You know, I was doing things, and let me tell you something right now. Don't ever say I'll never, because that's one of the first things God will humble you with, and you'll find yourself doing it right away. You know, I said, I'll never do such and such job. That was my first job. It was telemarketing. Boy, that was a humbling experience. I don't like telemarketers. Nobody likes telemarketers. Can you imagine being a telemarketer? Yeah, you know, I'm not condemning anybody who's been a telemarketer, been there. But it wasn't looking real rosy. In the meantime, we had not sold our house back in the other state. We moved from New Mexico. We thought, well, the house will sell. That'll be our indication. Yeah, never sold. So we thought, well, we'll just go. We're going to pray that it's all going to work out. We'll leave family back there to kind of take care of a few things. And, you know, God will meet us where we're at. It's going to sell. Month after month, did not sell. We're just like, okay. Well, that didn't work either. So we decided, well, we'll rent it. I had a good friend back there who knew somebody that needed the house to rent. They were willing to pay what we needed for it. So we're like, great, we'll get a renter in here. At least they're making the house payment for us. They trashed the house. I mean, trashed it. And we're just like, well, that didn't work either now, did it? By this time, my view of God was, I don't know who you are. I must have just missed you completely and totally, because if, after all, if I'm coming here to hook up with this ministry and you called me into the ministry because this was not my idea, what gives, God? Because I'll backtrack a little bit. After we had gone through that first initial stage of meeting Don and going through some of the ministry and spiritual gifts seminar, I had never had a desire, one, to be in the ministry. And I know that shocks a lot of people. People are like, oh, you know, if you're called to God, if you're going to be in ministry, it burns in your bones. No, it don't. Sometimes it's just an act of obedience, because, you know, sometimes it's this simple. He calls you to do it because he's asked three others that wouldn't. It's that simple sometimes. But I'm not downplaying the call in my life. I know there's a call in my life. I know that there's a pastoral call in my life. But I'm just saying that it wasn't my idea. In fact, Brenda and I, we had spent, you know, a lot of time, you know, during this season just in-depth prayer. God was showing us stuff left and right. And I remember it was so funny because he would tag team it with us. He'd give Brenda a vision and he'd give me the interpretation. Or he'd give me a vision and give her the interpretation. It'd always be back and forth. And we're sitting there praying one night. And, you know, we're kind of prayed in the spirit for a while. Then we went quiet. And I'm like, did you get anything? Yeah. And she's like, yeah, I see something, but I don't know what it means. And I'm like, well, what'd you get? She goes, I just saw on this countertop, I saw these five bowls and I saw these hands reach down and they were stacked up. And he's like, took about half of them down, moved a bowl out, set it to the side, and put the stack back on there. She goes, well, did he tell you what it means? I don't know what that means. I'm like, well, we better pray. So we started praying. And as soon as I started praying, he's like, I'm calling you into the ministry. These bowls represent the fivefold ministry, and I've set the bowl of pastoralship aside for you. And I'm just like, nope, mm-mm. I'm not hearing you. And being just, you know, full of faith as I was, or full of something, I said, all right, that's fine. You want me in ministry, you're going to have to confirm it. Yeah, that's a dangerous prayer to pray too. So I said, you're just going to have to confirm it. I think it was like a day or two later, we had been invited to come to a church that was having some powerful meetings. And there was this little woman there, and I don't even remember her name now, but man, I tell you what, she was a fireball. She was 5 foot nothing, weighed 90 pounds maybe. A little fireball, sweet little black lady. And I mean, you barely see her over the podium, but when God power would hit her, that place was rocking. I would literally watch her as she would hold on to the podium, because the power of God was on her so strong she was about to fall over. I've never seen anybody minister that way before. And so, boy, she started preaching, and I mean, it was just heaven was just coming down on that place. And then she said, I'm going to do some prophetic ministry. And she had somebody attending her to keep her standing up, because she was so in the spirit and drunk. You heard of people being drunk in the spirit and just under the power of God. She could barely stand. And she goes, I'm always going to minister to people. If you want me to pray for you, just come up to the front. And so, I mean, the people were just making a line for the front row. And I was like on the second row. So these people were right in front of me, because I could hear what she was prophesying to them. I'm just like, she ain't prophesying to me, because she was reading people's mail. She was just nailing it dead on. I remember the guy was right in front of me. She started prophesying a word to him, and she started to walk off and go down to the end of the line. And she stopped, and she came back, and she said, and the Lord says no to the question you're asking him right now. And the guy just fell out. He's done. I'm like, I ain't going up there. She ain't getting her hands on me. And so my wife, being the loving wife that she was constantly putting her elbow into my side. You need to go up there. And so she was down at the other end. So I'm going down to this end then. I'm just going to put this off. She stopped ministering to that guy and walked all the way down to me. And she just stood there and looked at me for a few minutes. I mean, it felt like an eternity. It should probably just a few seconds. But there's nothing more disarming than having your prophet sit there and just make eye contact and just stare at you for a few seconds and not say a word to you. And I mean, I was feeling pretty intimidated. I'm just like, God, make her go away. Make her go away. Make her go away. And then she stopped looking at me and started to walk off. And she goes, are you a pastor? And I said, nope. because I wasn't at the time. And she goes, okay, started to walk off, stopped, came back. She goes, have you been called to be a pastor? I'm like, I don't know. And she laid her hands on me, and that's God's honest truth. I don't know what happened after that, because when I hit the floor, I didn't even feel myself hit. It was one of the rare occasions in my life where I was not only experiencing a vision, I was in a vision. I was somewhere else. I was no longer in that room. And when I hit the floor, my spirit went somewhere else. And it was one of those things where I was looking, and it was like it was dark all around me, but I was looking at a bright light. And it was blinding me to the point where I couldn't make distinction out from anything around me. But I could hear, it was real faint, but it was starting to get louder and louder, and I could hear like flaps blowing in the wind. And I mean, this was not just something in my mind. I was literally there, and I was hearing these things. These things were really happening. I was hearing flaps blowing in the wind. And I could hear the faint bleating of sheep, you know, how they, you know, they make their sound. And I'm watching it, and all of a sudden, it just starts focusing, and I see this tent. And the flaps on the tent are just blowing in this wind. And as I'm coming towards this tent, and as I'm sitting there looking at it, I'm just like, what does this mean? And he said, you're a shepherd, which means you are a pastor. And as he was showing me this, and I could hear these sheep, and I mean, these sheep are all around me. I see the flaps blowing up on this tent still, and I look out, and there's sheep all around the tent. In fact, we're on a hillside, and I see sheep as far over the hillside as I can see them. It's just like, I think he was trying to get his point across that you're a shepherd, you're a pastor. And so I fought that until I couldn't fight it any longer. But anyway, that brings me back to where we were. You know, here we are, these people that has this incredible vision, this call of God on our life. You know, no man called us. It was called by, we were called by God, you know, directly. And we thought, we're going to go up here. This is the next step. You know, this smooth sailing, we're set. It was one of the darkest times in my life. I've never before been challenged like that to quit. I was just so frustrated. Things didn't get any better. We finally got our own place to live after 9 months of living in the cellar. And it was the most hideous trailer you've ever laid your eyes on. The floor was separating from the wall. You could literally go to the wall and look down and see, oh, there's the ground. We actually had family portraits on the wall that would, every time you close the door, they'd fall off the wall and go right down into the ground, you know, just like... Go get the portrait again. You know, we'd be under the trailer trying to fish out all. You know, it was not going well. It was, I mean, by every indication. And believe me, the devil took every opportunity to send every family member we had by to say, you're blowing it. You missed God. You know, we were not only fighting our own souls and what the enemy was doing, but we were fighting everybody that we knew, trusted, and loved outside of those that were in agreement with us in ministry, telling us, you're blowing it. What are you doing there? Get back where you belong. Anytime you try to take a step out for God, there will be those there to say, you need to get back where you belong. You belong where God has called you. And if it don't look good, that doesn't mean he didn't call you. In fact, I can almost tell you it's a pretty good indication that he did. And I hear a big amen from the Trizzlers over here.
Yes.
And I know I'm not the only one. I can tell just by looking at your faces, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Things went on. I was working odd jobs here and there, you know, telemarketing, painting houses, roofing, whatever I could do to just get by. At one point, I was working two part-time jobs and going to school full-time, and I was doing ministry stuff on top of that. I had a full plate at the time, and it was hard. And there was days I just wanted to pull the covers over my head and say, go away, everybody. I don't want to do this anymore. It wasn't getting any better. Time went by. We lost our vehicle. We had our vehicle financed with GMAC for years. I missed two payments, and they took it from me. I thought, I'm a man of faith. I'll just go down there to the dealership, take my van with me, and we'll work something out. We'll refinance it. You know how it ended? It ended with my keys, and I'm walking home. So I lost my house. I had virtually no belongings anymore, and now my car is gone. And God said, you're right where I want you. Just like, are you sure? No job on the horizon either. Michaela was young, and she was very sick at the time. No insurance. It wasn't looking real good. And I'm not even sure why God wanted me to share all this, other than to say that it worked out, because during that time, he was giving us prophetic words through other people that we knew, sometimes people we didn't know. And they were sometimes words that I couldn't even believe. I was just like, he missed it. You know, there's just no way that can be. That can't be me. That can't be what God has for me, because I couldn't fathom God doing something to bless me at that point. Couldn't fathom it. Things were just not working out. And I was just to the point, like, this is just the way it is. I tried to do something for God, and I missed him somewhere. I remember one time, several years ago, a woman gave Brenda and I a prophetic word. She goes, I see you coming into a place financially where your income is going to increase. It's going to double. And then it's going to triple, and then it's going to double again. I'm like, well, that sounds wonderful, but whatever. You know, I've heard that before. We're just now getting to that point where we're seeing that kind of stuff come to pass. And we ain't done yet. You know, we can rejoice right now, you know, and I share these things, and that's why we share these things during, you know, the offerings. Is it's not a brag fest, it's to inspire others, you know, that if you're not in a good place, it's okay. I know what it's like to be in a not so good place. I know what it's like to have them take your car and wondering how you're going to get to work tomorrow. You know, I can relate. That's why we share these things. You know, we've been blessed. You know, we've been blessed. We finally bought a home this past couple of months. That home was the first home we had owned since we had that snafu happen in New Mexico in the home that we had back there. It had been 12 years. We had not been homeowners in 12 years. We had rented that entire time. And if you know, when you rent, you're throwing your money away. Kiss it goodbye because it's gone forever. You know, it didn't look good. Back to our house after they got trashed, fortunately, we had family that went in and fixed it all up. And we just stuck with it, kept praying, God, you've got to sell this house because we can't pay rent and this house payment. And we prayed and prayed and prayed, and we just kept believing God. He sent a buyer to us, a buyer with cash in hand. They bought that house. How much you want for it? There you go. Signed, done, and it was over like that. It was bad there for a while, but God came through. And God may not come through for you the exact same way that he did for me, but he's going to come through for you. I want you to be encouraged in that, because I just sense it. I mean, in being, you know, pastoral and stuff like that, you hear various things that are going on with people in your congregation, people you work with, people, you know, it's hard sometimes. It's hard. But, you know, it doesn't stay that way forever. It comes to pass. You know, as the Bible says, you know, such and such came to pass. Thank God it comes to pass. It doesn't come to stay. And it's so funny because I heard somebody listening to a song this week, and it was some country song, and I'm not a country music fan at all, but I love the words to it. It says, if you're going through hell, keep going. Keep going. And I mean, and I don't remember exactly what it said, but it's like, you know, our hope is that you get in and out of there before the devil knows you're there. You know, if you're going through hell, keep moving. You'll get out before he even knows you're there, because, you know, that's not where you're meant to dwell. You know, he may throw all kinds of hell towards you, but you don't have to stay there. You know, you don't have to take up residence there. It is hard sometimes, but I want you to be encouraged. Like I said, I don't know. I hope this is making sense to somebody, because I'm just doing, you know, this is not anywhere near what's in my notes. This is just the direction that I felt God lead me to go tonight. You know, there's other things that he's really laid on my heart. And like I said, you know, this is going to be an amazing year for us. And I just want you to have the courage to follow the vision that he's going to show us, that he's already showing your shepherds. And, you know, my prayer for all of you is that you would be the sheep that he intends for you to be. You know, there's two different kinds of Christians. There's sheep and there's goats. And don't get me wrong, I am not saying this because I see this on anybody. I can tell you, I used to be a goat. I used to be a goat in my attitude. Let me explain what that means. Sheep, as the word says, they know their shepherd's voice. When he calls, he knows them. You ever seen that picture? You know, God always puts things into nature so we'll understand it. But, you know, he spoke in these terms because back then people were fishermen and they were sheep herders. And so he spoke to them on those levels. And I think he purposely designed things like that so he'd say, this is how the kingdom of heaven is. This is a perfect example illustrated right here before you in the flesh. But, you know, the sheep herders, they would all be out on their hillsides with their sheep. And then when it would be time for the sheep to come in and drink water, they'd all bring them all down to the same well. And before you know it, you've got 10 or 12 shepherds sitting there. They're all talking, and all their sheep are intermingled together. And he's just like, how in the world are you going to get all your sheep back and not take this guy's sheep with you? Because, I mean, this was their livelihood. You know, this was serious stuff. Shepherds would spend so much time with their sheep, learned the tone of their voice. The shepherds would sing to them, and they would learn the songs. And what they would do is, after the watering time was done, the shepherds would begin to speak to their sheep and sing the songs that their sheep know and walk off, and their sheep would just automatically follow them. Mm-hmm. That's what it means, that my sheep know my voice. And pastors are a great example. You know, Jesus is the perfect example, the Good Shepherd. That's one of his names. But pastors are also shepherds. He's placed them here to help you. And I heard it stated I thought was very good. I mean, it adjusted me greatly. It's like the sheep don't get to choose where the shepherd's taking them to pasture. It's not a vote. Where the shepherd go, the sheep follow. And the ones that don't want to follow, that want to kind of just run around and do their own thing, those are the goats. No condemnation, because like I said, I used to be that way. I didn't give a rip what the shepherd wanted. You know, I was doing my own thing. But the goat, he wants to do his own thing. Goats aren't necessarily bad. You know, they're not going to hurt anybody. They're not going to get much out of it. But I find it interesting, too, because the Bible, when it talks about goats, it says, milk them for everything they got. You know, because it talks about using the wool for the sheep and the milk from the goats. You know, and that denotes a thing, you know, because there are other people that bounce around from this thing to that thing, never committing to one thing or another. That's kind of a goat mentality. And it says, fine, they don't want to commit, then, you know, take all the milk from them you can get. Take as much money from them as you can. And it's not for your pocket, it's for the kingdom. You know, that's what that means. You know, people a lot of times think, well, you're just wanting to milk people for all their money. Yeah, I do, because I can put that back into the kingdom. I ain't putting it in my pocket. You know, I want to have a sheep mentality, you know. They like to lay down in the green pastures. They like still waters. They don't like trouble. You know, a sheep won't drink from troubled waters. They will not drink. They will only drink from a well or where the water's calm. Goats don't care. Don't drink from anything. There's also wolves out there that you got to be aware of. Wolves don't care a thing about water either. They're after flesh and blood. I tell you this because I never really believed it. I thought, oh, that's a nice little story. There are wolves out there, and be careful. There are wolves out there that will come in to destroy. I've seen it happen firsthand. You let them in, you believe the best about them. Before you know it, they've split a family up and they're having an affair with one of the women in the church. I've seen it happen. Wolves love high places. They'll take all the position you'll give them, but they'll never commit to anything. Being a wolf is a very dangerous place to be in. There's no wolves here, I know that. Sheep love their shepherd, and they find comfort in his rod. If you're a goat or even a wolf, you don't like the rod. You don't like the staff. See, to a sheep, it's a staff of comfort. To a wolf, it's a rod of correction. Did you know that shepherds will actually, sheep that will not stay with the fold, but they like to run around and get off on the fringes where the wolves are and get picked off. In order to keep them from getting picked off, a shepherd will actually break that sheep's legs. He will actually take his staff and he will break their legs. And then he will bind them to mend them up, and he'll carry that sheep on his shoulders until that healing process is over. I think that's a wonderful picture. Because not only now is that sheep not going to run off, but can you imagine the bond that's building between that shepherd and that sheep that's constantly around his neck? And then by the time that he's healed and he can put him down, that sheep doesn't run off anymore. Now, I don't know why I'm saying all this. I'm just rambling. I think it's kind of neat stuff. Somebody maybe needed to hear that. I don't know. Are we going to be good sheep? Are we? It's your choice. Can't make anybody do anything. But I tell you, I can just tell from the words that God has spoken to us in the past that we're starting to see come to fruition now. There's going to be some things where, man, you're just not too sure about it, but your faith is going to have to be not only in God, but in the leadership, the shepherds that have been placed over your life. That's where we're at. We're going to do some amazing things this year. Are we excited? Yes. I mean, I see huge changes coming, and I think we're going to start viewing church and ministry on a whole different level. We're going to see it in a whole different light. Like I said, I don't know why I was saying what I was saying, and I'm just doing what I felt led to do. I hope you got something out of that. Well, the holidays are over. We're starting a new year. We've recuperated from the holidays. It's been a long week. What do you say we go home? All right, let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your goodness. Father, we thank you that we have Jesus as our example of the perfect shepherd. And God, we thank you that you've put shepherds in our life. And Lord, we want to have the right attitude. Lord, we want to go where your leadership has told us we're going. We just want to be faithful to you. And Lord, we just want to hold on to the truth that we know that you've spoken to us through your word, through your written word, through your prophetic word to us, Lord. No matter what the circumstances look like, it can look like everything is falling apart and you're still right in the middle of it. And God, I just pray that you would keep that in the forefront of our minds, Lord, in our hearts, that we would know that just because circumstances tell us otherwise doesn't make you a liar. Just because our soul tells us other things doesn't make you a liar. You are God. You're not a man that you can lie, and you are truth. It's not that you speak truth, but you are truth, Lord. You are truth. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing. I thank you for this people. God, I thank you for the direction you're taking, and I thank you that these are a people of vision. And Father, I pray that they would seek earnestly, first and foremost, the vision that you've placed before them. Lord, I pray that they would have the courage and the desire to peer into that portal, to see what it is, to catch a glimpse into eternity, what you've spoken to them. And God, I pray that they would guard it. God, I pray they would guard it with everything that they've got, and they would not let the enemy steal the vision that you've given them. Father, I thank you that serving you is not just some dead religion like all the other religions of the world. God, I thank you that we're shaking off any form of religion, whatever name we put on it, whether we call it Christianity, or whether we're just being a bunch of Pharisees. God, I thank you for real people. Real people are seeking their real God for real vision. Lord, I just pray blessings over everyone. Give everyone sweet sleep tonight as they go home. Give us all traveling mercies. God, I just thank you that you're bringing Scott and Donna and the others back, Lord, and your protection is on them as well, Lord. Send your angels to go with them wherever they go. And God, we just thank you, and we look with excitement and anticipation to 2007 because it's going to be an amazing year, Lord. It's going to be so amazing. We just can't even fathom what it all is going to entail. And Lord, that is so exciting, and I just thank you that you're allowing us to be a part of that. We bless your name. Amen.